Thank you for joining us for another great message from The Door. This week, Diane Swenson of Global Teen Challenge delivers a powerful message on fathers and mothers.
Well, it's such a privilege to be here. You guys look pretty good for Sunday night. Yes. You know, the real Jesus lovers show up on Sunday night. That's what I'm saying, right? Can I just open this up one more time? I just want to pray. Can we do that? Father, I love you. And right here, Father, we have a whole room full of people who love you and who have said, I am all in. You are important to me. I want you. I know you are the answer to all of my questions. And Lord, I know you love to talk. Your name is the word of God. And there's no such thing as you being quiet to us. So we receive your word. We receive your word into our hearts, into our lives, and into our destiny. We ask God that you speak clearly. And Father, I ask, no, Father, I give. We give. We give you permission, Father, to mess with us. We do. We give you permission to mess up our thinking, to straighten it out, to line it up with you. We give you permission to challenge our weaknesses. We give you permission to change our minds. We come to the table tonight, Father, overwhelmingly willing to be wrong. Because we need truth, and you are truth. So we're coming in low, Father. We're saying you're God and we're not. And we ask, Lord, that you enlighten the eyes of our heart tonight, because we need you. We're desperate people, Father. We're not here to play church. We are here because we love you, and we know that you make all the difference in our lives. So show us, God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So how about I just start telling you just a little bit about me? I started my life journey as a registered nurse. I did that for about 18 years. And then my marriage exploded. And my husband, we were pastoring at the time, and my husband went full-time into a drug addiction and became a person I didn't recognize, became dangerous. I escaped from that marriage with my two kids, thank you, Jesus, and that was about it, hardly anything else. And for about 2 years, I just kind of healed. I just needed to heal for about 2 years, because that really set my life. It was like getting run over by a truck emotionally. And so after about 2 years, I'm praying and praying. I said, Father, I miss the ministry. I miss being in the ministry. And he said, okay, get ready. I'm moving you into ministry. And I just said, okay. Didn't have a clue what it was. And about a week later, I get a call from the head of Teen Challenge of Arizona. I lived in Arizona at the time. And he says, Diane, we want to start something new for Teen Challenge. We want to start a women and children's program. And we thought with your nursing background, you would be the perfect fit. And I said, absolutely. I would love to come and see what you want to do. And because the Lord already, he already said out loud, I'm moving you. You are going into full-time ministry. Wasn't thinking Teen Challenge. But I said, absolutely, I'll come and check it out. And when I toured the empty shell of a building that they wanted to convert into a women and children's center, 35,000 square foot building. That was a big, hairy deal. And I could just see it. I could see the 40 women and their children and the strollers and in the playground. I could just see it all. And I said, all right, Father, you're letting me have this opportunity. I'm going to jump on this wagon and go for a ride. And the crazy thing was, God took me completely out of my comfort zone. I had zero expertise in working with people with addictions. In fact, I probably had like a minus 10 because, I mean, I'd only had one encounter with someone with an addiction, and that was my ex-husband, and that was kind of a fail. And yet, isn't Jesus sneaky? I mean, seriously. Yeah, because he's like, yeah, oh, let's pick her. She doesn't know anything. Okay, you're in charge. Yeah. And so he puts you in charge, I really believe, because it makes you really desperate. Because I don't have any idea what I'm doing. I know. Just listen to me. I'll clue you in. Okay. And so I did that for 10 years. And it was the most amazing thing. And even though I personally have never had a drug addiction, I can stand here and say with great confidence that God changed my life through Teen Challenge. Because I tell you, I lost a lot in Teen Challenge. I lost my fear. I lost a truckload of unforgiveness. My heart went through transformation. It was amazing. And so after doing that for about 10 years, the Lord said, okay, now it's time to go global with what you know. And when I first started hearing that, it felt too large and too big to be real. I'm like, that's ridiculous. And it took him about 4 years to convince me. But by the fourth year, I am convinced, but I'm still looking and there's no place to go. It's like, where do you apply? Oh, I want to start Women and Children's Center globally. Where do you apply? And so I said, Father, what am I supposed to do? And I had a mentor at the time, and my mentor loved mentors. I'm a promoter of mentors. But my mentor said, oh, you know, make a few phone calls, put out your resume. And so I thought, okay. And as soon as I even started to type my resume, the Lord said, no, that's not how I'm going to do it. And I said, well, then what am I supposed to do? He said, I just need you to resign. Oh, yeah, just resign. You know, with my two kids in college and my daughter just got engaged and she's going to be married and I'm the only cash cow, right? And he's like, no, just resign. And I did. Probably about one of the scariest things I'd ever done. You know, you stick your resignation letter in the... I went down to Safeway. It's like a Publix. I went down to the grocery store to put my resignation letter in the mailbox because I didn't want my staff to know I was mailing a resignation letter. And you know, you stick it in and then it closes up. You're going... What did I just do? And my boss, he got the letter the very next day, and he says, Diane, I just got your letter. I cried. I said, I cried when I wrote it. He says, well, what's your plans? I said, I don't have any. I don't. All I have is a burden. And so we prayed together about 10 days. And I got the one very next step. You know, I think sometimes if the Lord shows you the whole really big picture, maybe for me it would have been too scary. So he said, just one step at a time. Okay, here's step two. Ask him for two things. Ask him for for his blessing and ask him to send you. And you know, I didn't know it at the time, but that was probably the most honoring way I could have ever resigned. He told me that over and over again. And my boss in Arizona is now my largest supporter and my biggest fan and my best promoter because he's my spiritual father. And so here I am, took that really big deal step of faith, and God provided. I'm a missionary, raised my own support. Never thought I'd be doing that. That was new. But God is faithful in all those things. He doesn't ask you to know anything. He just says, want to give it a try? And I said, yeah, because I love adventure. I love the Holy Spirit. I love chasing him because he always takes me on a good ride. And Isaiah 58 says, if you do all these things, and like keep a Sabbath and delight in him, he says, then I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. That's like one of my favorite things. I just picture myself in this roller coaster without a track. You know, just because I love roller coasters. And I am strapped in and I am safe and I am having the best time. And so I'm just ridiculously in love with Jesus. Just wanted to say that out loud in case I have to explain myself later why I'm a little fanatic. But he's healed me. He's empowered me. He's changed me. He's real. And I am forever ruined for the ordinary. So now I work for Global Teen Challenge and been doing that for about 3 years. I get to travel everywhere, like really everywhere. I've been to Africa 4 times. I've been to Cambodia, and I spent a month in Australia and Jamaican, and the goal is get to more places. We have it divided up into 8 regions, but my heart is more ministry for women, but especially the kids, the women with the kids, because we don't have enough resources for them. So what I wanted to talk to you tonight about is fathers and mothers, our spiritual mothers and our spiritual fathers. And I want to start with a verse. This is 1 Corinthians 4:15. And I want to read it out of the Amplified. It says, "For even if you were to have 10,000 teachers to guide you in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers who led you to Christ and assumed responsibility for you. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the good news of salvation." And I liked reading it in the Amplified for this reason, because it kind of explained the difference between just a teacher and a father. A father is someone who leads me to Christ and assumes responsibility for me. Because sometimes I need that. And let me give you a couple more examples of a way a father spoke in my life. And so when Snow Peabody, that's his real name, Snow Peabody of Arizona, I needed him to send me. So what did he do? Without me even in the room, like a father arranging a marriage, he went and talked with Jerry Nance because there was no job to apply for. He said, "Would you create this position for women and children? Because Diane has a burden." And this father, Jerry Nance, he created a position, gave me a title, and put authority in my hands to do great things. Because that's what a father does. So I'm working. Well, the very first time I come to Georgia, Dr. Nance invited me to this gigantic board meeting. There had to be 60 people at the board meeting. And at the board meeting, afterwards, we all went over to his house for dinner. And all of the men who are the leaders in Global Teen Challenge, the regional directors, the strategic ministry leaders, the senior staff, all of the men, they're all out on the patio talking. So where are the women? Where are they? In the kitchen. They're in the kitchen. They're cooking the food. Men are waiting on the patio, waiting for the food. And the Lord said to me, because all of the men are out there, not one woman is out there. And he's like, I didn't call you to make a sandwich. I said, I need you to be a leader. And so I walked outside with all of the women still in the kitchen. And the men looked up to me like, yes, can I help you? Until one of the fathers pulled back a chair and said, here, Diane. See, sometimes it takes a father to make room at the table for the mothers. So what I'm here to tell you is that God has called you to be spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers. If we look at Judges chapter 3, we're going to see an example of a spiritual mother. We see Deborah, a wonderful example. And in fact, that's what she calls herself in chapter 4. I rose up to be a mother to a nation. And see, that's our destiny. We start out practicing parenting with G.I. Joes and Barbies. And then we graduate to pets. And then we get married and we have dogs. Who's married here? Who's married and has a dog? And a cat, a pet. Okay, yeah. Yeah, because it's practice. It's just practice. And then we have children. Or maybe even before that, the young ladies usually babysit, right? We're practicing our parenting all the time. But then we start, you know, men's groups and women's group and volunteering in the youth group and college group, and we're still parenting. Even as a teen challenge director, I parented. It was my parenting skills that did the most healing. Not how awesome of a teacher. It was when I mothered them. So because we see in Judges chapter 3, when Deborah is talking, she is calling the strength of an army of men. Can I just point out to you that when Deborah went out to battle, she led an army of men. She didn't lead an army of women. She led an army of men. Because we're mothering. We're parenting. And a mother must speak into the lives of her sons, too. Sons and daughters. As spiritual mothers, we have to speak into both the lives of our sons and daughters. So, I have an amazing son-in-law. My daughter, Charlene, and Matt just had a baby a year ago. We just celebrated Oliver's first birthday. And one of the things that when Oliver was first born that Matt said to me was he was expressing how he wasn't sure he was going to be a good dad. And it was because he had lost his father to cancer when he was 16. And he felt that loss. And so it took a voice of a mother to say, of course you're going to be an awesome dad. Of course you are. I have no doubt. Because it's the voice of a mother and a father who speaks strength. I mean, that's a spiritual phenomenon. That's just not a nice thing. That's a walking in an office of authority thing. And it's not really dependent upon if we've had any natural kids. We're parenting. You can be a spiritual mom without being married, without having kids. You can be a spiritual dad without being married, without having kids. Because we're walking in an office of responsibility. And I need those voices speaking into my life as well. So I have a niece, her name is Faith. She is gorgeous. And about 4 years ago, my gorgeous, beautiful niece was in a hugely abusive relationship. Just super ugly, abusive relationship. And she became pregnant. And from the stress of this relationship, She lost her baby at 7 months. And we almost lost her. She went into preeclampsia and she almost died. And she was so traumatized for a lot of different reasons that she didn't even tell me. I found out secondhand that she was in the hospital in ICU facing death, and she was too ashamed for whatever she was going through to tell me. And that broke my heart because I have mothered Faith. And so afterwards, after she got out of the abusive relationship and she started to heal, eventually she met an amazing man, and she's now married. And before she got married, I led her through some prayers to forgive because she felt responsible. She felt responsible that she, you know, if I would have been healthy, I wouldn't have lost this baby. If I hadn't been in an abusive relationship, I wouldn't have lost this baby. And so she, so we prayed. And now she's like 2 years past that, and she can't get pregnant. And she says to me, maybe I'm not supposed to have a baby, because she's not feeling worthy. And so I said, actually, that's not the will of God, because God already told us, let's be fruitful and multiply. Let's have lots of babies. So maybe there's just another reason that you're not having a baby. And so one of the things that happens, you know, I have the opportunity to work with a lot of women who have had abortions. Men and women who have had abortions, because the men have pain too. And one of the things that happens is there's so much shame and so much self-hatred when you have an abortion that you take this mantle of mother and this mantle of father, and you say, I'm not worthy of it. I'm not going to wear it anymore. And something has to happen to fix that. And there's three things. Forgiveness has to happen. Father, forgive me for what I've done. And then I'm forgiving myself. I have to let myself off the hook, because that's usually where the biggest problem is. It's an incredible deep self-hatred and shame. But then God says that we are in the ministry of reconciliation. And so we have to be reconciled. We have to be reconciled to God. And we have to be reconciled to each other. And a lot of times, the pain that is in the mother or the father who has lost this child, it's like the first thing I'm going to go to do when I get to heaven is I'm going to get on my knees before my baby and say, please forgive me, because they're needing reconciliation. But God is saying, you don't have to wait until you get to heaven. That reconciliation can happen now. That's why we have the presence of God in prayer, that we can enter into kindness for each other. And maybe it's not just a baby that we need to be reconciled with. Sometimes it's an abusive father, or it's an abusive mother that we have fallen out of relationship with. Maybe they're around to repair it, and maybe they're not. But we need forgiveness, and we need reconciliation, because the way we view our own mother and father will certainly affect the way we view ourselves as a mother or a father. And those things must be healed. They must be strengthened, because our destiny is to be a mother and a father, a spiritual mother and a spiritual father. And then the last thing that we would need to put on is this mantle. And so I gathered my niece and her husband, And I read to them out of Genesis where Isaac prayed for Rebekah and she had a baby. And then I said, would you be willing to pray and receive this mantle of motherhood on you? And she said, yes, I would. And it was probably the most healing thing that she had been through. She needed, because she had tossed hers off, I'm not worthy to wear this. I can't do it. So I'm waiting for a baby. I haven't heard yet, but I'm still waiting for a baby. So what I would really like to do tonight is I want to enter into a prayer encounter. I want to give opportunity, because some of you, you know, probably the most of you, you know that the things that God has for you are way beyond this city. He has called you to do international ministry. He has called you to make global impact. So let's let the Holy Spirit strengthen this mantle of yours. And for those of you who feel solid in this, then I want you to help pray. So, let me just read one more scripture. I'll just quote it because I can't find it. But in Exodus chapter 19, this is when Moses is talking to the people. He's the intention was that he had established a kingdom of priests. And that didn't happen. Instead, he established one tribe, the tribe of Levi, to be priests. But when Jesus did his work on the cross, things changed. And so now we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, right? Okay. So I want to spend some time as priests tonight and as kings tonight, as we pray for our mothers and our fathers, so that we can bring them into the presence of God as a priest. And we can pray for the areas of their life, listening to the Holy Spirit lead us in our prayers. And then we can make declarations over them. Hear the voice of God and say it out loud. Speak into their destiny. Can we do that? Yeah? Okay. How about we stand? Can we have some music? Hallelujah. So I want to give you one more example. My son, not yet a father, but grew up without a father in his life. And he felt that loss. But when he took it into the presence of God, and God restored his relationship with his father, that mantle was set strong on him. And now he's so excited to be a father. But I also see him fathering. So I want to invite, first of all, I want to invite you, if you are struggling, if the Holy Spirit has revealed something to you that you need to take care of, I want you to put on your brave and come on down.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.